Well, I count as one of the greatest joys I have in life studying God's Word and trying by God's grace to understand what it meant in that context and then jumping the bridge to our lives today and helping us in practical ways. And that's exactly what we're going to do by God's grace, I trust. Because we've come to the end, the last chapter, almost, of the greatest letter written in the history of the world, Paul's letter to the Romans. And as he begins wrapping up, he reflects on what he has written. And notice we're in Romans 15, verse 15. He writes, I have written very boldly to you on some points so as to remind you again. Boldly. Boldness. You say, what is one thing I am fairly confident we all agree on? We want to share the gospel with people. If you know Jesus is your Savior, inside you there's something that you know you want other people to know Jesus. And if there's a second thing I'm confident of, the best I know, all of us feel a lack of boldness. I know I do greatly. There are so many times I see people, and well, first of all, there's times I see people and I'm not even thinking about the gospel, okay? Obviously, that's wrong. I'm thankful God forgives me and I'm thankful that He helps me. There are other times by God's grace I see people and I want to share the gospel. And, you know, it's hard, it's difficult. I don't know how. What if I make a mistake? What if people look down on me? More and more people are kind of not happy about that. Don't give me your Jesus stuff. And yet I read a book like Romans, a letter like Romans. And here is Paul, who is so bold, verse 15, that he has to actually explain. I don't want to say apologize, but explain. Yes, I have written very boldly. And my question is, Paul, how in the world do you find it so easy to be bold? Because I want to be more bold, and I think you want to be more bold. And here's what Paul says, and now I'll read the next verse, verse 16. Beginning in the second half of 15, because of the grace that was given me from God, here we go, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest, the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Paul is basically explaining, if you want to know how I'm so bold, it has everything to do with priestly ministry. Now, the problem with this is you may be like me. When I hear the word priest, this is the first thing that comes into my mind. Now, I was raised Roman Catholic. I don't know if that is where your mind is or not. This is not what Paul's talking about when he says he talks about him being a priest. A more accurate thing to think about would maybe be, we've read our Old Testaments, the tabernacle and the place of the Jewish priests. And I think many of us have studied or at least heard sermons or read about the furnishings in the tabernacle and how the high priest would seek to lead the people in God. And yet that is even not what Paul's literally thinking of. Paul's not thinking of literal priesthood. He's using priestly ministry as an illustration of boldness in sharing the gospel. And maybe to make that clear, I put the verse up on the screen. I want to just point out quickly five key words where we see this very point of priestly ministry. We'll go through this verse slowly. Paul begins verse 16. To be a minister of Christ Jesus. That word minister can also be translated priest. It's used that way of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's used that way of other priests in the New Testament. Not always, but it can be. Secondly, you have the phrase ministering as a priest. That verb exactly means what it says and says what it means. Ministering as a priest. Thirdly, notice the word offering. That's a word present. What does a priest do? He brings a present or an offering to God. Fourthly, notice the word acceptable. That is a word that's used of an offering that God is pleased with. And then finally, there's the word number five, sanctified. That's the idea of that which is consecrated to God as an offering. Put these five things together, And if we lived in that, we don't see it so well today, I guess, but if we lived in the first century, we would read this verse, and it's all about priestly ministry. I'm calling the message our priestly ministry. And my goal is not merely to show you that that's what's on Paul's mind. I want to cross the bridge and make it applicable to our lives. And if you're thinking, okay, Greg, we're supposed to understand why we should be bold and how we should be bold, and yet you're going to talk about being a priest, how do those two relate? Just hang in there, and I trust by God's grace by the time we get to the end of the message, it'll be clear. The first thing I want to do is make sure we understand what Paul's talking about in the text, and what's the first thing we see? Number one, Paul had a ministry, and thus we have a ministry. Our ministry, what is it? It's proclaiming the gospel. Paul says here in this text, to be a minister or a priest of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest, what? The gospel of God. The gospel that comes from God. The good news that God has given us. The good news of what? That Jesus Christ is our Savior. That he came into this world, died on a cross, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, now intercedes for us. God dying in our place. That's the gospel that comes from God. Notice what Paul says. He says that he's a minister, a priest of Christ Jesus, ministering as a priest the gospel of God. Now, notice that it's very specific that he says Paul was a minister to the Gentiles. And if you ask the question, does this verse make it clear that Paul was called to the Gentiles to minister the gospel? Yes. But God's called you to minister the gospel. Guys, you are supposed to be ministering the gospel to the people God has called you to. You say, like who? The people who live on your street. It's not an accident that you live where you live. You've heard me use him as an illustration before. My neighbor, a professing atheist, we've lived next to each other, I think, for 10 years. He just moved out. I've prayed for him many times, shared the gospel with him many times, and I wouldn't do this up front. Over time, I built a friendship with him. And then shared the gospel with him many times. And I have let him know more than once, I don't believe it's an accident you moved in next to me. I believe God did that because God wanted you to hear about Jesus. And he rolls his eyes at me and cusses. And I say, that doesn't offend me. I want you to know that Nancy and I pray for you regularly. And I'm actually confident you're going to come to know Jesus one day. As he told me he was moving, I said, you know what? I've been praying for you. I'm not going to stop. I'm still praying that you'll become a follower of Jesus. Now that he has softened up, he rolls his eyes and doesn't cuss at me. Okay? And yet, I believe I've been called to minister the gospel. You've been called to minister the gospel to the people you work with. The people you shop with, the other people on your kids' baseball team or soccer team, the other moms and dads maybe at music camp or however you do life. Every one of us has been called to share the gospel, the people you work out with at the gym. Some of you, many of you, just like me, you pray daily for family members who need to believe in Jesus. Whether it's mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, kids or grandkids, nieces, nephews, that's your ministry. And the Bible makes it clear that the way you engage in that ministry is sharing the gospel. Every one of us has this calling. Paul says that he was a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. I would argue we're all ministers of Christ Jesus, and we all should be ministering as priests, the gospel of God. We should be thinking of ourselves as priests. You say, okay. But priests bring offerings. That's correct. Let's look and see what the offering is. To be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest, the gospel of God, here we go, so that my offering of the Gentiles. What does it mean, offering of the Gentiles? I think it's like right now we're in the city of Greer. What is the city of Greer? The city is Greer. What is the offering of the Gentiles? The Gentiles are the offering. See, that's one of the ways I know Paul's not talking about literal ministry. He's not talking about sacrificing people. But he's saying he's offering an offering. That word can also be translated gift. The gift is the Gentiles. You say, what does that mean? Guys, what's our offering? Converts. Followers of Jesus. Paul is convinced that the way he serves Christ is he brings a gift to Christ. And the gift he brings would be, I phrased it here, disciples of Jesus. Here it's just called Gentiles. That may become acceptable. So Paul's thinking, I know what pleases God. And when I want to worship God and I want to bring him a gift, I know what he likes. God likes converts. That's a gift that he's happy to receive. And thinking of it this way, thinking of ourselves as priests, is not something that Paul alone does. Let's look at 1 Peter 2 real quick, 4 and 5. Coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. That's coming to Jesus. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. See, we're all priests. To offer up spiritual sacrifices, here it is again, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity to bring pleasure to God by giving him gifts. And the gifts are people who are now followers of Jesus. All right, I'm supposed to ask, do something. I want to do something every time that the children can relate to. Children, how many of you like having birthday parties? Raise your hand. Raise your hands, kids. All right. How many of you kids like getting presents? Raise your hand. All right, very good. How many of you like Christmas morning when you unwrap? Most of you. Not everybody does the present thing. I got you. But how many of you like Christmas presents if you get them? All right, good. Kids, I want to let you in on a little secret. When you get to be old like Pastor Greg, getting gifts isn't that exciting. I'm not saying I don't like them. Don't get me wrong. But when I was little like you, I was all excited about my birthday and Christmas because I was getting something. Do you know on Christmas now, I actually get more excited about giving a gift? I don't know if this will make sense to you children. Your mom and dad actually enjoy giving you gifts even more than you enjoy getting them. And I know some of you are thinking, oh, that's nice, but I still like getting them. Okay, I understand. I was a kid once too, believe it or not. But as you get to be old like me, you find it such a delightful thing to actually think hard, what gift would my loved one like? That when he or she opens that package, they would go, wow, that's joyful. It's even fun. Let's make the application. When you think of Jesus and all that he's done for you, don't you desire to want to do something just to say thank you? You know, wouldn't it be neat if I could just say, Jesus, I know you really want this. And well, that's such an odd thing to say because he doesn't need anything. And anything he wants, he could just do because he's God. But yet, in this illustration, Paul is saying there's actually one thing that God finds acceptable. And the word acceptable, again, can be translated pleasurable. You, as a follower of Jesus, have an opportunity to give him something that he greatly appreciates. And you know what it is? It's converts. It's people putting their faith in Jesus. I want you now, I think most of you that are adults that have been Christians for a while, I want you to think of someone you've had the joy of sharing Christ with, and they are now a follower of Christ. I want you to think of that person. Doesn't that make you glad? Isn't there a sense of, I am so thankful that I had an opportunity, and no doubt other people played a role, but I planted gospel seed, or I watered gospel seed. Maybe I came in late and picked low-hanging fruit, but somehow God gave me the opportunity to be involved in seeing someone come to know Jesus Christ. Paul says, that's an opportunity for us to give an offering to the Lord that he finds acceptable. Do you see that in the verse? To be a minister or priest of Christ Jesus, ministering as a priest the gospel of God, so that my offering of the Gentiles, converts, may become acceptable. I always try to put myself in the audience's place. If I heard what I just preached, I'm being very honest with you, I would right now be a little bit uneasy. Because when I hear a guy like me saying, wait a second, Greg, I can bring God pleasure by going out, sharing the gospel, someone gets saved, and I present that as a gift to God, it's almost like I'm saving people. It's almost like I'm the one doing it. And that doesn't seem to be what Paul taught us all through Romans. Maybe that's why, notice, there's another phrase in verse 16 we haven't gotten to yet. We need to cover it. Right after Paul says that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, notice that last five or so words, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. What is the means of dedicating this gift to God? Who is the one who actually saves a person? It's God, the Holy Spirit. Do I save anyone? No. Is it up to me to get people saved? No. Can I cause a person to believe the gospel? No. Is the eternal destiny of people in my hands? No. And yet I have the joy of sharing the gospel. It's not my gospel, it's God's gospel. And yet I share it with people, they put faith in Christ, but that's not my doing, that's God's doing. And they then become followers of Christ, and Christ does it all. And then some people get saved, and I have the joy of presenting that to God as a gift. You say, that's weird. Well, maybe it's more common than we realize. An illustration that I hope will help. As many of you know, we have three daughters, and they're all adults now, but back in the day when our three girls were small, I'd say to the girls, hey, it's mommy's birthday. And they would get all excited, and they would say, Daddy, what are we going to get mommy for her birthday? And I would say, oh, let's go buy her something. And they're like, yes. And so we go in my truck, and we drive to the store, and we pick out a gift, and we take our credit card. That's an interesting plural pronoun, isn't it? Our credit card. And we pay for a gift, and we go home, and we wrap it. And then the girls come in, and I say, now remember, you can't tell mommy it's a secret. And that lasts about 0.1 seconds, right? We walk in the door. Mommy, guess what? We got you for your birthday. And, of course, they're all excited, and they would give Nancy a birthday gift. Mommy, look what I bought you. And Nancy would smile, and she'd be happy. She's a mom. The kids are excited. They get to give it to their mom. How much did they have to do with it? Maybe not as much as they think. And yet, God gives us the joy of participating in ministry. I am so thankful for the opportunity to have shared the gospel with many people, and at least some of them have come to know Christ. You say, and what do you think about that? I really had, in this one sense, nothing to do with it. But in another sense, thinking about it makes me think, I'm thankful that God would allow me that privilege. That's exactly why. Look at the next verse. Paul says in verse 17, therefore in Christ Jesus, I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. Now, boasting is a word that can be used two different ways. Let me try with the children. Okay, children, real quick. If you know somebody, I'm going to change the word boasting to brag, and I think maybe many of you children know the word brag. Children, is it good or bad to brag? Shout it out. Good or bad? Bad. Okay, very good. Well, correct answer. Let me say that. Correct answer. It's not good to brag, except, children, is it okay to brag about Jesus? Yes. And say, Jesus is awesome. Yes. That's the kind of bragging or boasting that Paul's talking about here. Notice the text. I have found reason for boasting in things pertaining to God. Notice it's in Christ Jesus, beginning of verse 17, and then it's things pertaining to God, end of verse 17. So the boasting is all focused on God in the context of sharing the gospel as an act of worship and presenting converts to God as a gift that he finds acceptable as the Holy Spirit saves people. You say, okay, so what is Paul boasting in? His participation. Let me see if this maybe helps. You know, there are times I think we share the gospel with people and people even get saved. And let's be frank, we're proud about what we've done. We've all heard this, right? You know, I've led so many people to Christ. I mean, bless God, to God be all the glory. But I've led so many people to Christ. And it seems pretty evident that there's not a proper sense of giving God the glory in that. But watch this. We say to someone, hey, you shared the gospel with someone, and I hear they're now a follower of Christ. And sometimes we say, yeah, but like I didn't do anything. Like, man, it's not me. You know, it's just like it's not me, okay? I mean, like I did nothing. It's just, you know, just... That's not Paul. Paul's a person who's excited that he can be involved in the process. Maybe another translation will help us. Our boast should be in worshiping God. That's the point. We boast as part of worshiping God. Let me make that clear. We're sharing the gospel and presenting converts to Christ as a vehicle of worshiping God. And thus the New Living Translation puts verse 17 this way. So I have reason, notice the translation, to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me in my service to God. And someone says to you, hey, I hear you shared the gospel with someone. Well, yeah, I'm thankful. And I hear they came to Christ. And my response is, praise the Lord. And you say, so you're taking credit. Oh, no credit, but I'm sure thankful God uses me. This is awesome. Isn't it a blessing for me as a follower of Jesus to know that I can please the one who saved me by sharing the gospel and some people will come to know Christ? And then, according to this text, those people are presented to God as a sacrifice that he accepts. That's awesome. Now let's go back to the beginning of the message. I said something like this. I know you want to share the gospel with people. If you're a follower of Jesus, I just know that you do. And yet, I think most of you are like me, and you find it hard. And sometimes you say, I don't have any boldness. You say, so how did Paul get it? Paul understood that it brings God joy when people come to know Jesus. And Paul is so excited about the gospel that he just wants to kind of say, Jesus, can I give you a gift back? And he shares the gospel, people get saved, and God accepts that as a gift. Did we really have a lot to do with it? Well, we all understand, especially as we get older. Maybe it's like kids giving mommy a birthday present when they're young. Maybe not as much as we thought. But we still get to play a role in doing that which brings glory to God. It just makes sense. The more you understand the gospel, the better you know Jesus, the more you want to share the gospel with people. Now, I teach in a seminary. I have two seminary degrees. I've actually had people say, Greg, I don't know if I want to go to seminary because going to seminary is a place that will dampen your enthusiasm for sharing the gospel. All I know is that's not what Paul believed. Paul believed the better we understand God, the more we love God, the more we will want to share the gospel because we understand it pleases him. Maybe a closing illustration will help. I absolutely love Father's Day. And maybe not for the reason you're thinking, even though I do find it a great joy to get gifts from my kids. That's fine. I love getting my dad a present every Father's Day. Now, Father's Day doesn't go well for a lot of people, right? I think you get this picture, right? For some people, it's like Father's Day. What? Another tie. Oh, praise God. I mean, you don't say that to your kids. You smile and say, oh, what an awesome tie. You know? And, you know, and I got to be careful. Kids, you maybe got your dad a tie for Father's Day, and he loves it, okay? But he doesn't want to keep getting those, okay? You say, Greg, what do you do for your dad on Father's Day? I get my dad almost the same thing every Father's Day because I know he likes it. I get him a Home Depot gift card. Amen. I heard that. Yeah. I go online. I don't know if you know if you can do this or not. I go online, and I make my own. And I take a picture, it used to be pictures of our kids, now it's pictures of our grandkids. And I put the picture on the gift card. And I have the gift card mailed to him. So my dad, every Father's Day, gets a gift card from me that says, Happy Father's Day, Pops. Love, Greg, and the kids. And on that card, worth whatever, is a picture of his kids or grandkids, now his great-grandkids. And I know my dad likes that. You want to know how I know that? Because he has shown me. He has a stack of like 20 of them. My mom has told me he never throws them away. And sometimes when he just wants to think about the family, he goes out and looks at the old gift cards. And it brings him joy. I hope it's obvious, but I know my dad loves certain gift cards. And every Father's Day, it brings me joy to give him one. And I look forward to calling him on Father's Day and saying, hey, Pops, happy Father's Day. And I already know what's coming. Hey, I got the gift card. And it's like, woohoo! And he's excited. And it brings me pleasure. Application. Do you love Jesus so much? And you're so thankful for all that he's done for you, that you'd like to give him something. I mean, what do you give him? What do you give God? I mean, the God who's the creator of all, the sustainer of all. This verse helps me. I know what brings him pleasure. In one word, converts. When I share the gospel with people and people put their faith in Jesus Christ, those disciples of Christ are gifts that he finds pleasurable. I think that's awesome. Wrap this all together in conclusion. Now let's see if this makes sense. I'm calling this worship and witness. What does that mean? The desire to worship fuels our witness. The better we know Christ, the more we realize he's awesome, and the more we understand how awesome he is, the more we want to share the gospel with people. That's what Paul is saying. And I don't want to push too hard on this, but when you think of people and you say, Greg, I'm just telling you, I know people that love Jesus, they love him a lot, they're so thankful, they don't share the gospel with anyone, I'm just telling you, you are confused. I don't know what else to say. You are confused. People who love Jesus want to worship Jesus. And one way, it's not the only way, one way we worship Jesus is by sharing the gospel with people. It's not like, oh, now I got to go out and witness. Bummer, I got all this guilt on me. We're not talking about that, guys. When it comes time for me to give a gift card to my dad, I don't think, oh, stink, another Father's Day, here we go again. I think, Father's Day, this is a blessing. I'm going to get my dad another gift card. I'm going to get to call him up. I'm going to get to hear him say, hey, I got your gift card. I like that because I know it brings him pleasure. And I want to bring my Heavenly Father pleasure. It's the desire to worship that fuels our witness. And then secondly, thus our witness is an act of worship. What should compel us to share the gospel with people? Lord, I love you. And you have been so good to me. And I think about all of my sin, and I think about your holiness, and I know that you're right to judge me, but your word says there's no condemnation because I'm in Christ Jesus. And the fact that you saved me is so incredible, and I don't think I'll ever get over that. And I would just like to somehow worship you, and how can I do that? And the text here shows me. Share the gospel with people, and as people come to know Christ, he accepts that as a well-pleasing gift. And then I think, okay, I want to do that. Are you sharing the gospel with people? Are you sharing the gospel with people? You say, not as much as I should. Then you're just like me. I don't share the gospel as much as I should either. But are you sharing the gospel with people? Would you be honest? I'm talking to believers. Would you be honest enough to pray to the Lord based on this text of Scripture? Lord, would you forgive me for not loving you? And you say, well, wait a second, Greg. I didn't say I didn't love Jesus. I was just thinking I'm not sharing the gospel. No. See, the desire to worship fuels our witness. If we love Christ, we want to worship him. If we want to worship him, we share the gospel. Witness is an act of worship. Guys, if I'm not seeking opportunities to share the gospel, it's a testimony that I really don't love Jesus. I don't want to worship him. And if you're listening to this and you're thinking, Greg, that's convicting a little bit. I'm glad I'm not the only one being convicted. And this makes me say, Lord, I pray to you, would you please forgive me? And the fact that he does, this is not about getting guilt on you. This is realizing that even that makes me love him more. Because I should love him and I don't. And I ask his forgiveness and he does. And I say, Lord, you're so awesome. Your grace is so incredible. I just want to say thank you and give you a gift that would please you. And he says, okay, share the gospel. Are you sharing the gospel? Would you allow this passage of Scripture to cause you to think deeply this week? Are you sharing the gospel with the people on your street? And if you say, Greg, there's a lot of people on my street, I don't even know their names yet. Okay, well, then you know exactly where to start. With the people down the hall in those cubicles, or maybe the guy running the machine just maybe around the corner with the plant that you work at. Again, maybe the parents that have kids in your ball team or band or scouts or whatever you do. The cashier that you regularly see, the wait staff at the restaurant you like to frequent. Any person that you find yourself with more than just haphazardly. Realizing, Lord, that's someone you have sovereignly given me access to, and I just want to show you that I love you. I'm going to share the gospel with you, with him or her, out of appreciation of all that you've done for me. Because based on this text, I now know what gift you like to receive. For my dad, it's gift cards. For my heavenly Father, it's followers of Jesus. Let's bow our heads, please, as we close. And I'd like to just pause. It's obvious to give you an opportunity if you would choose to. Just pause to pray, Lord, would you forgive me for not loving you enough to be actively sharing the gospel with others? And would you help me to love you enough to actively share the gospel with others. Father, we thank you that we've